Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, here we go. All right. I like your Lees McRae little deal right there.
Yeah.
Are you feeling weird because we got all this Clemson stuff?
No, I do what I can.
You got a mug?
Yeah, it balances it out pretty well.
Does it? Welcome back to another Gear and Review. I'm Bobby Ritu, joined by the creative talent, Mark Berry. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, good, good. For most of y'all that don't realize this is an audio podcast that soon will be available on video.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to check us out on our YouTube channel coming up soon. We're going to have some gear to look at and show during this episode. We're focusing on multicam. We love multicam, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Why?
Well, multicam editing really adds...
Okay, hold up. Before you get started. Yeah. Because we have got to give a shout out.
Okay, sounds good.
So we have to say thank you to Touchpoint Media for being the great network to support this podcast. Check us out and all the other podcasts associated with Touchpoint Media. Go to touchpoint.health on your little web browser. Anyway, back to multicam. And you were saying, as I rudely cut you off.
As I was saying before I forgot, to thank all our wonderful friends that make this possible. Multicam editing or multicam production really adds an extra just umph to shots that might not have the same effect if you did not do them in a multicam setting.
Okay, so let's back up real quick. Yeah. When you mean multicam, you're not talking about multicam. We got a lot of cameras out here. You got something in there.
Yeah.
Multicam to me is basically all about having a dedicated camera. Let's start with interviews.
Yeah.
Where this is on a tripod. This is a C100 mm-hmm. With a wide angle lens on it, but we use this as the dedicated interview camera.
Right.
Right. Right. And this would be hooked to a microphone that would be either lapel or hanging mic,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, this camera typically runs the entire length of the interview.
Right.
It never goes off.
And so we use this to record really good audio, right?
Right.
This camera has the extension, so it replaces not needing a Tascam, right?
Correct.
And so once we hit record on this guy, it records the interview straight ahead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see their face. But then, you know, we also like to pull a second camera out. Talk about what you're going to show us some stuff, but pull out and talk about the purpose of a second camera. Why do we use a second camera? Why do you like it?
Well, what I have right here is the Ronin S. And the Ronin S is a stabilizer that we use for the second camera. Now, you asked me what a second camera does for interviews. It does a couple of things. Number one, it gives us a different vantage point with which to view the interview subject. Number two, it gives me more flexibility in the edit bay to create a more cohesive edit because I have more shots to choose from. I have more creative freedom to blend shots together. So that's really the two primary things that having a second camera does for me, especially as an editor.
Now, a lot goes into having multiple cameras. A lot of people will just set two cameras up and record the same thing.
Right.
But a lot of times they look exactly the same. And you can't tell in the edit bay if they look different.
Right.
Let's talk about why do we do it from a visual standpoint. I take it as we choose two separate lenses. We have a discussion. The main camera sometimes has a nice compressed look, a long lens to have a very stable, professional looking interview shot. And then the second camera, like we put on the Ronin S, sometimes is a wider shot to show more of a wider perspective of the interview.
Yep.
But really, so that it's also about having two different variations of shots to cut in between to interleave, but also it allows us in the edit bay if we have no B-roll. Why do you like to do it?
For a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, there's an element of artistry that it gives you. We don't have the setup you were talking about right now, but like for instance on this, I have a 35 millimeter lens. So this would give us a nice kind of medium wide shot, for the interview subject. And this is a 16 to 35, but we could put a 100 millimeter on there if we wanted to and have two completely different looking shots of the same interview.
And it will allow us to cut in between them. There's many times when we do interviews for our clients like the Duke Endowment or some of our nonprofits where it's very interview heavy, but they don't have a lot of B-roll or imagery to showcase. So we have to edit a 2-minute piece with little footage, so to speak.
Right.
And so the two camera gives us a lot of options, right?
That's part of the flexibility I was talking about as an editor. I mean, depending on how the interview goes, you could actually make an entire video with just a two camera setup if you had to.
Now, let's talk about what this Ronin does. I mean, it looks like you've got it on a tripod right now, but you're setting it up. You don't have to pick the same spot the whole time. The main camera is locked down on a tripod.
Right.
What do you do with this second camera on the Ronin? What's the advantage of putting it on this device as opposed to having it just on a stable tripod that's one set shot?
Well, the really cool thing about knowing that that this camera is locked down and good to go is having this as a second sort of vantage point where I can move around, be a little bit more artsy with it, get some movement, play around with it, and have a little bit more room for error. Whereas, you have the lockdown shot there as a safeguard for me as an editor.
Now, we are a two-man crew, so we do everything portable and mobile and flexible.
Yeah.
We try to keep our costs down for our clients, and so we don't try to hire a lot of people. We know we can do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So there's an advantage of having one that's locked down.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure the interview subject is comfortable in the seat that they're sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them stand.
Right.
So they don't move around and rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can leave this camera alone as long as we're monitoring the audio.
Right.
And I can sit down and do the interview and you can focus on the creative shot and shots and still be a two-person crew. Is that explain from your perspective what other pieces of flexibility does it give us now that we're running multiple cameras and we're still two-person?
Well, yeah, just to build upon what I just said, just knowing that that camera is there with a nice stable shot, I know the whole interview is going to be captured. I mean, I can really get creative with this device right here. And during the interview, let me tighten it up here. During the interview, especially, I mean, we just did a video shoot for a client. I mean, I got down on my knees. I got like different low angles. I got high angles. I went around them. And some of that stuff was good. Some of it wasn't, but some of it was really good, and I was able to get those shots because I had the creative freedom to pursue those shots thanks to having a two-camera setup.
Now, let me ask you about this. Once I hit record on this and once you hit record on that, if it's within about a 15 to 20-minute interview, you just let it roll the whole time. Is that correct? Or do you stop and start with the second camera?
I try to let it roll the whole time. One of the limitations of DSLRs is that they can't roll for incredible amounts of time. So I do have to stop it sometimes, but that's easy to sync up in Premiere Pro.
Talk about syncing Premiere Pro shots in the timeline and using the multi-cam option in the edit suite of Premiere Pro.
There's a couple ways to do it. When you have a setup like this, the easiest way is to just line up the audio waveforms, and that's done automatically within Premiere Pro. You just select both the shots and select create multicam sequence based on audio. And what it does, because the 5D actually has a pretty good onboard mic with it. It's not the crisp, warm sound we get with the interview, but it's good enough to where the program can recognize it as being the same audio. And it just internally matches up those waveforms and it gives you a really nice sequence to where you can sit there, watch the interview and just cut back and forth with something as simple as a keystroke.
Let's talk in terms of people that are not using these heavier duty cameras. Let's get down to for instance, the healthcare marketer that may not have big cameras, but they might have two smaller cameras, like two iPhones that they can set up and record. What would you recommend for them to do with those types of options, even though they're not the heavy duty cameras? Do the same thing?
You could do the same exact thing, and you could have basically just a scaled down version of this. Like this would be an iPhone on a tripod And for your secondary camera, you could have a iPhone gimbal, which replaces the Ronin S.
And you just put, just literally put it on this guy, and it floats around, and you can walk around, right?
Yeah. It gives you a really nice, stable shot, and you can kind of pursue the same creative shots I was talking about with the Ronin S, but with your iPhone.
And that's the DJI Osmo Mobile 2.
Right.
The difference on this one is, and I like to show this off, is that it can do horizontal, but if you undo this guy, you can pull it out and flip it to vertical. A lot of people are doing a lot of vertical video right now. And this gimbal right here is advanced enough that it will run close to 12 hours on one battery charge, which is really, really nice.
And that's similar battery life for the Ronin S.
Yeah, so another thing that I think is important to talk about multicam, and this goes back to the old school of what I used to do, is picking an axis and trying to stay on one side of the axis when we're shooting multiple cameras. And what that means is there's an imaginary line in between the main camera and the person. And so if the person is looking to the right side of the camera, you have to pick which side the second camera is going to go to,
right,
and always stay on that side. We try not to go back and forth between sides of the main camera. And the reason why, explain why do we not do that?
Well, for the viewer, it creates a sort of confusion. When that axis is broken, your mind notices. And it kind of just confuses the viewer, whether it's not intentional, but it confuses viewers when they see that broken. Now, sometimes you can break that rule. There's been directors and big films and stuff that's broken it for artistic reasons, and it works. Sometimes you can, but general rule is it's best to stay on one side of the axis. I mean, we've broken it before.
Absolutely.
And we were able to fix it with, you know, simple effects in Premiere. Sometimes we left it for artistic reasons. But I try to stay on, try to find one side that works the best for the Ronin and just stick to that rule. It's a really good rule to adhere to most of the time.
And what we mean by axis is if you look at, let's take 60 Minutes or a major news organization that shoots or produces a video of an interview, and you'll notice that the person talking that's being interviewed is maybe, let's say that they're on the right side of the screen looking to the left. Well, all of a sudden, breaking the axis puts them on the left side of the screen,
right,
looking to the right in the same product. And sometimes the average viewer, it confuses them. So we try to pick one side of the axis to put the second camera on, and we stay on that side. Whether it's on the left side of the interview camera or the right side, we stay all the way through that production.
Yeah.
Just a simple basic rule. As we wrap up, what are recommendations that you have for people considering multicam shoots? Something that you, just some quick thoughts as people start considering this workflow.
Well, I would say starting out, adhere to the axis rule.
Yep.
Figure out how much you want to scale the production up. If you're just doing some vlogs and you want to add a little bit of flair to the vlogs, I really recommend getting the Osmo Mobile 3, right? This is the 3?
No, that's the Osmo Mobile 2.
Osmo Mobile 2, okay. So I would recommend that. If you really want to scale it up and get a little bit more production value for whatever reason you have, the Ronin S and the C100 is just, and the 5D combination is just a really solid workflow. It's worked well for us. We're going to modify it as we go in the future, but for now, this is the optimal workflow for a really good multicam sequence.
I tell you what, multicam is a lot of fun. A last tidbit that I would say that is a recommendation is pick the camera or the device that's going to record your crisp audio. For this production, we are actually shooting four cameras. We're showing you two cameras by capturing it with two other cameras.
Right.
So we've got the M50 recording this video and an iPhone recording the M50 behind, way back over there. So anyway, the main audio for this production is going into a Tascam from a microphone hanging over top of us.
Yep.
We know that's where the main audio is. And then we've got a second mic on the main camera. So you need to pick where your audio, crisp audio, will be recorded and choose that as a space to get your good audio and use the other one as just as B-roll.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and if for some reason you're not able to capture good audio on the second camera, A good workaround for that is to get like a slate, like you see in the movies, or just clap in front of the cameras and line that up later through a different method that the Premiere has, which is called endpoint, which is you start both videos at the same endpoint. So just make sure you have some sort of reference. Does not have to be good audio, but that's the best, the most recommended way.
Well, thank y'all so much for joining us on this episode of Gear and Review. I'm Bobby Ratu. This is Mark Berry. And we hope that you check us out later when we have this up on video. And we're looking forward to seeing you and talking to you next week.